want to talk to you about discernment. And discernment is a very interesting word. It's all throughout the book of Proverbs. I'm going to give you some verses. But what I really want to do tonight is I'm going to give you some definitions. So write some of this down. It's going to be really good for you. Here's what discernment meant. It is the ability to judge well. The ability to judge well. And I'm going to walk you through these descriptions because it's so helpful. Discernment is defined as the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure. That means, what does grasp mean? To hold on to. That I literally have something I physically and tangibly can hold on to. I'm grasping it, and I'm comprehending with an understanding and a wisdom here that doesn't make sense. So I'm grasping. Now listen, guys, there's all of us in here right now are having to make decisions, and we're not sure what we should do. There's something in our spirit going, what should I do? What should I do? And I'm going to ask you to ask in discernment, what should I do? So here's what I'm going to do. I can comprehend it and I can grasp. It's because it's obscure. It's an act of perceiving something. So it's I have a perception of seeing something that I wouldn't see in the natural realm, but I start to see in the supernatural realm. Listen, it's the power to see what is not evident to the average mind. You know when you just have this feeling of discernment in your gut and you're going, something tells me not to go there. Something tells me not to enter this conversation. Something tells me not to react to this right now. See, that's divine discernment. Most of us, if you're not listening and you're not keen for it, now girlfriends, this could change your whole life, the rest of your life if you listen to these truths. Solomon is just the wisest man in all of the earth, and the God of the universe spoke to him, through him, and gave us Proverbs for a reason. And if I can learn this wisdom, if I can learn understanding and teachable spirit, if I can learn discernment, I'm going to walk according to God's word and his way for me. I'm not going to find myself all messed up wondering why I did what I did, because I have cultivated a spirit of discernment. I'm going to walk you through this. I think it's so good. The definition also stresses accuracy, as in the ability to see truth. So what it means is I can see through and I can go, wait a minute, something's not right here. There's a check in my spirit. There's something I see. It's supernatural, so I see something that you might not see. Have you ever been with somebody and you go, I don't know, I just don't feel good about this. And your girlfriend's going, why? What? I'm fine, good. They don't have a discerning spirit that's telling them this isn't good for you. This isn't right. They've got a check in their gut, in their spirit, in their heart. Right? And the more you activate that, the stronger it is. I tell you all the time, and I equate this with working out because I love physical workout. When I work out a muscle, there's evidence of it. Right? When I work out a spiritual muscle, there's evidence of it. I know where to go. I know where to stop. I can't tell you how many times in my spirit, Holy Spirit will say, don't say anything. Don't get involved in that. And then later find out it's a whirlwind of gossip and this and that, and it ended up not being true, and all the girls involved were a mess, and I thought, thank God I didn't get involved in that one. Because my spirit said, shut your mouth. I love how sometimes he talks to me. He gets my attention. Girlfriend, shut up. You know, that's the one that I hear the most. Yeah, okay, I got it. Because in my spirit, don't go there, don't say it, don't do it. Spiritual discernment is the ability to tell the difference between truth and error. You can see it in a person. You're invited somewhere. You're invited to do something. You're invited into a conversation. You're invited a business opportunity. Have you ever been involved in a multi-level business opportunity? And there's something in your spirit just saying, you know, they're wanting you to say, if you ever feel pressured, I always say wait. Something in my gut just says wait. If it's that good, it'll be that good tomorrow. Okay, you don't have to pay for that one. That was good. All right. If you feel like you, and you know how they're just good salesmen. You know, my son's one of those. My daughter, they're just good. And there's if somebody's trying to sell you and your spirit's saying, wait, right? Discernment says wait. So you can tell the difference between truth and error. In its simplest definition, discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and error. So you know. You don't have to go home to mama. You don't have to ask. You don't have to. Now, it is good to get wisdom. It is good to get a counsel of people around you. But the majority of time in my day, I have to make a gut reaction. Should I do this? Should I say this? Should I go this? Should I enter? And most of us, I'm going to be honest with you as women, most of the time it's should I say something? Because we say something all day long. And we say stuff we shouldn't say all day long. Are you following me here? And wisdom tells you, wait. Rest. Keep silent. Okay? Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. Now listen, this definition was so good because I thought, you know, I could be going down a road intending to do something, and the closer I get to it, something stirring in my spirit that says, don't do it. There was nothing wrong with it when I left the house. The closer I get to it, my spirit's in check and says, don't do this. Don't go there. Does that make sense to you? That's how you activate that spirit of discernment. I'm going to share a story with you. Most of us know it, but I want to give you a little more explanation, more paraphrased Tammy's way, all right? Because I love this passage in 1 Kings 3, and it's on the back of your notes, 16 through 18. I want to read the whole thing in its entirety because I believe the Word of God is important, and it's that you can get the whole context of the story. Now, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. Two prostitutes. So we're basically looking at a house of prostitution, a lot of women, probably a lot of babies, a lot of pregnancies. It's a house of prostitution. I can just imagine that they're everywhere, right? So there's these two prostitutes, and they both came to the king pleading their case. See, you would go to the king and you would plead your case, and he would determine how he would respond to the case. One of them said, "Pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there. The third day after my child was born, this woman had a baby." So the first woman had a baby. 3 days later, a second prostitute had a baby. "We were alone, and there was no one in the house but the two of us." Listen here. No one to testify. No one to testify. The enemy will always come when there's nobody to testify your case. See, he wants to get you. Now listen to me, I make sure, and there's a couple people, I'm going to be honest with you, that I will not be alone with. Now I'm going to give you some details, and there are some people I don't trust, and I will not be alone with them, because sometimes the story gets taken down a road that's not truth. Are you with me? Anybody had that situation before? And I know in my spirit, I can't be alone with them, because I never know what the outcome, I always want to witness. Now that's not with everybody. But I can tell you right now, there's three people in my mind that God tells me I can't be alone with because the story gets distorted. I believe the story says this because they want us to understand there are sometimes you're going to be set up. Set up. Now, discernment teaches me, discernment says don't go someplace and don't be with some people. And don't ever be alone with some people that are going to set you up. Anybody in the house hearing me? We've all had experiences like this, so there was no one to testify. During the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. So she probably, maybe she was nursing him. She rolled over in the middle of the night. She suffocated her little boy. So she got up in the middle of the night, and she took my son from my side while I, your servant, slept. And she put my son under her breast to feed him, his dead body under my breast. Deception. So here's the words. No one to testify and deception. Think in your personal story, think in your testimony, think when you've been set up, and you should have had some discernment to judge how to read somebody, to read somebody, and you know this isn't good. So right there, deception. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it was not my son that I had born. The other woman said, "No, the living son is mine, the dead one is yours." But the first insisted, "No, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine." And so they argued before the king. The king said, "This one says the dead one's mine, this one says the live one's mine." The king answered and said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought the king a sword. Then he gave the order, "Cut the living child in two and give one half to one woman and another half to the other woman." The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of the love for her son and said, "No, king, please, 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 Lord, no. Let the baby live. Give it to her. Don't kill my son." But the other woman said, "Neither of us should have him. If I can't have him, she can't have him. Cut him in half." Giving the baby to the first woman, the verdict of the king came and said, "They that held the king in awe because he saw the wisdom when he said, 'She is the mother, give the living child to her.'" You know, I've heard this story and I've thought of it before, but what really resonates is Holy Spirit gave King Solomon wisdom to do something that was cray-cray, a little crazy, right? Bring me a sword. But see, what he had was spiritual discernment. And here's what Holy Spirit said to me, "Would you step out of the boat when you had a discernment from me to step out in faith and do something and be a spokesman for me?" Because that had to take a lot. I know he's the king. Give him a sword, right? Cut the baby in half. But he knew that the true mother would care more about sparing her child than having her child. See, here's what I was taking some notes. I thought this was really good. One woman had nothing to lose, and the other woman had everything to lose. See, one woman had already lost her son. The other woman who said, I would rather my child live than lose my child. That's a discerning spirit. That's something in you that says think and act that's different than you would in your natural man. Do you know what I mean by that? You know how you act just as you would naturally think? But the Bible tells us when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we don't think naturally, we think supernaturally. So sometimes I make decisions in my natural man. I will tell you the majority of my day, I'm living in my natural man. I go get my coffee, I'll go with this, I get that. The more I draw close to Holy Spirit, the more I'm realizing I am walking in a supernatural mind pattern all day. Like I'll say, Holy Spirit, who do you want me to speak to? There are times, and it's so cool right now because you start to engage with Holy Spirit, all day long he's bringing somebody to my mind. Text so-and-so, call so-and-so, pray for so-and-so, say so-and-so. And I'm telling you, the more you activate your spiritual senses, the more he gives you. Does that make sense? And so as I started really doing this discernment, I would tell you the last few weeks, because I've been studying this, I've been saying, Holy Spirit, help me discern. And I'm able to look at some things and I go, mm-mm. He's showing me things in my natural man, or in my supernatural man, that I don't see in my natural man. The other thing, listen to this, it looked like truth. See, what happens is things look like truth, and that's why we get sucked in. It looked like truth because the woman who came with the baby was the one who had the baby. She had stolen the baby. So when they came to the king, she was holding the baby. So truth would look like that was her baby, but deception had come in first. So you can look at something and go, well, it looks like it's right. She's holding the baby. Why'd that other mother give that baby? And we begin to reason with our natural reasoning instead of stepping into supernatural understanding. And the enemy always wants to come where there's no eyewitnesses. Do you know that? He wants to come. He's called the deceiver. He's a deceiver. We don't want to be deceived. And he'll always come. I've been some of my worst, what I want to just call encounters where the enemy has gotten me has been where there's not been a witness. I'm thinking of a couple right now. And I felt in some ways, let me tell you, here's truth. Some ways I felt set up by the enemy. I'm not even going to ascribe the setup to the person. I think the enemy uses people and we fall into it. But I didn't have enough discernment to see it. And me and my natural man got caught up in it. And then I just asked myself, how did this just happen? How did this happen? Right? When even there's a check in my spirit, and what we have to do, ladies, is we have to be spiritually minded so we can see these deceptions when they come, right? When they come, so I look and go, wait a minute, this looks like a setup to me. And then you're strong enough to handle the setup or get out of there, right? The woman, both of the women came in distress, we see in the story. And then the king said, now listen, this is so good. The king said, bring me a sword. Do you know the Bible says the word of God is the sword of the spirit? Do you know when you have to make a decision, the most important thing you can do is know the word of God? That picture of the sword to cut that baby in half, just think of it, the word of God. The word of God, the Bible says, is a two-edged sword, piercing deep. So whenever I have to make a decision, guys, I go right to the word. It could be a decision in a relationship. It could be a decision in a business. It could be a decision, any decision. I have a discernment. There's sometimes where, you know, some women come and they want to do this or they want to do that. And you can imagine anybody that's got a problem, anybody that's got a need, anybody that's got an idea. All right. Lately, it's just kind of like, Tammy, can you meet? And I'm starting to run the other way. I'm going to be honest with you. And I just told sweet little Micah this a few minutes ago. Anytime somebody emails and asks, I in my spirit say, Holy Spirit, am I supposed to do this? I'm going to be honest, I don't care who it is, because there's got to be a check and confirmation in my spirit before I go on. Are you listening to me? Because girlfriend, the enemy wants to set you up. He does. He wants to set you up, and we are like sheep led to the slaughter. We don't even see it. I told somebody, and I'm going to tweet this. I think it's so good. I said, don't confuse my kindness for my weakness. I started to say leadership. Because I can be so kind sometimes, honestly, but I'm not weak. And I'm going to tell you the same thing. Don't let somebody confuse your kindness for weakness. Be strong. Be strong, women. Stand up, protect. God wants to put this armor around you. So the word of God, always use the sword to discern truth. And listen to this, guys. Love, this is good. Love will reveal truth. Love will reveal truth. What happened with this one woman? What did she do? Out of love, she said, save my baby. And truth was revealed. And Holy Spirit just said to me, Tammy, every time you walk in love, truth will be revealed. Because guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't defend myself. I can sit here and argue my case with you. I can go before the king, the judge, and argue my case. But love will prevail. Love will be the defining characteristic of truth. Not my word and not my action. It's going to be love. Okay? When all you have is an argument, seek counsel and discernment. So you have, there's an argument. It could be something at home. It could be something at work, something in your spirit. Seek counsel and discernment. And that's actually what these women did when they went to the king. I want to walk you through these notes. I really, really think that these are good. I want you to write these down. I don't know if this part's in your notes. These are ways discernment is expressed. Now, these are good checks for you to write down. Number one, there is a feeling in your gut. There's a feeling in your gut. You know when you went somewhere and you said, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. I knew I wasn't supposed to go there. And you knew it. I believe that our gut is where our conscience is, and Holy Spirit activates that and speaks through that. So when you're feeling something in your gut to not do something, wait, rest, and act. Next, supernatural wisdom from the Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to do, and again, like I'm going to be honest, these are things I'm putting in my life right now. I get a request, I stop and I say, Holy Spirit, what should I do? I just did this today with Jessica with some opportunities that we had, and we stopped and we said, Holy Spirit, should we move forward with this? Because discernment will come and make a way. A pathway will open up. You'll feel in your heart, you'll go, I feel right about this. I feel good about this. Because remember, when Almighty God comes in you, he leads and guides you. So his Spirit's going to lead you. What happens is most of us suppress him down and we hear our way, not his way. That's why you're not having discernment. That's why you go, I wish I'd seen it. I wish I would have known it. All you can see is your way instead of his way. So you are walking down your path with your senses and your feeling, and you're absent of discernment because you've suppressed him down, okay? The insight of right and wrong. When you have discernment, listen, when you have discernment, you're going to, just like that definition, listen, I'm going to look and I'm going to go, something doesn't feel right about this. There's a check in my spirit. And it doesn't mean it's a not, it doesn't mean it's a no, it's just a wait. Does that make sense? If you ever feel this impulse to do something, somebody's writing you and writing you and writing you and writing you, I guarantee you 99% of the time you need to wait until you have a peace in your spirit, all right? And then you will also have the knowledge to ask the right questions. This was a really good one. God gave me this. Because see, when I write this stuff down, I just ask Holy Spirit, how does this work? And then thoughts will come and I'll write things down. And I thought this was good. When I have discernment, I will have knowledge to ask the right question. So all of a sudden someone asks me to do something and I'll say, well, where are we going afterward? Oh, who's going? What are we going to be doing? Those are questions I have to know, or I'm going to end up down a road where I'm going to say, how did I get here? So discernment will give you the knowledge to ask the right questions. Don't be a sheep led to the slaughter. Be responsible for your own decisions. Here's how you know that you have discernment. These are really good, all three of them. Number one, others will ask your advice. Isn't that good? See, if you don't have a discerning spirit, nobody's going to ask your advice. So when you get around somebody who you like, you know what? They're in tune. I mean, there's some girls in here. I'm not going to call them out and embarrass you. But I know I can go to them because they have a discerning spirit. I know they walk with God. I know they know the word of God. I know they hear from God. So when I want to know about something in my spirit, there are a few people I'll go to. And if people are coming to you asking you for advice, chances are you might have a discerning spirit. Does that make sense? Because what smart people do what? Hang around smarter people. So ask yourself, is anybody asking my advice? If nobody's asking your advice, you got a problem, girlfriend. Nobody wants to be like you. You know, you ain't taking nobody down any highway to heaven. Right? Right? So just ask yourself, when's the last time somebody asked your advice? That's just saying, okay? Next, your decision will be wise. I love listening to my husband. I love, because he has so much wisdom. He really does. And there's so often I'll be just in a meeting with him and he'll ask one question and the whole conversation will turn. I'll go, ooh, that was good. That was a good question. Right? Because he has wisdom. And you know when someone asks you a question about it and you think, wow, I didn't even think about it that way. All right? So your decisions will be wiser than you. Ask yourself, how many bad decisions have you made lately? And if there's a long list, girlfriend, you're lacking some discernment. And I'm just trying, I try to, the life coach comes out in me, I'm so sorry. But look at your life. And if, you know, here's what people say, why do I keep making these bad decisions? If you've said that lately, you're on the wrong road. See, that path's only going to take you one way. Why is it that sometimes it's almost like the better decisions I make, the better decisions I make? The better decisions I make, the better decisions I make. It's just the way it works. And if you're just finding yourself on a road thinking I'm tripping over myself every time I'm walking down that road, ask yourself, what are you doing on that road? Right? And next, people will be in awe of your words. What did they say about Solomon after this happened? It said, because that was a pretty radical, I mean, bring me a sword. Can't you imagine everybody in the courts? Whoa, what's he doing? And after it happened, they were like, whoa, that was powerful. Have you ever just been somewhere you go, whoa, that was really good? Yeah. I love it when we're in church sometimes, and sometimes you'll hear people go, oh, that was good. I love it. His Holy Spirit's just like, whew, giving you a good one right there. I love it. Oh, that's good. See, that's what happens when you're giving wisdom. Are you listening? When you're giving wisdom, all right? Let me give you a couple life applications that I really think are going to help you. To have spiritual discernment, and there's five of them right here, and I think they're really good, and I want to walk you through them. How, are we doing okay? Got time. Number one, listen, listen, listen. You must have a relationship with God. You will never have discernment apart from God. And I'm going to just go on record, a lost person cannot have supernatural discernment. They just can't. So if you don't know that you know that you know him, we need to start here. And that simply means that you realize that there is a God of the universe that loves you and knows you better than you know yourself, and he wants a relationship with you. Once you know that, then you can start to walk when he enables you to understand discernment, because he activates discernment. Solomon knew his God. Solomon had a relationship with God. Therefore, he could do cray-cray things like, say, bring me a sword. Sometimes I'm like, God, just give me one of those once in a while. Give me one of those like crazy things, and everybody's like afterward, whoa, that was good. Right? Because it doesn't make any sense. It defies reason. When you're walking in discernment, some things will defy reason. And all of a sudden you go back and you go, wow, that was God. Right? I love a couple of verses I want to give you. Let those who are wise and understanding see these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The path of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But those whose paths are the sinners stumble and fall. Hosea 14:9. Hosea 14:9. Read that one, guys. Read it. Number two, listen. You must see beyond your bias. Now listen to me, if I'm going to have discernment, listen, my girlfriend invites me somewhere and I think, I don't know if I should go, but you know what? She's my girlfriend. She's my friend. She wouldn't hurt me. That wouldn't happen. And I have a bias toward the situation, therefore I don't have discernment. Are you listening? This is a good one. You must see beyond your bias. Now, this is really good. Discernment is not judgment or discrimination. It's truth. Isn't that good? I mean, that's him. I'm like, I'm right. You know when you write something, you go, whoa, that was good. So discernment in my spirit, it's not judgment. I'm not sitting here going, I'm better than you. I'm not going, Christians don't do that. And all of a sudden this judgment comes over me. I don't like people like that. I'm sorry. I think the Bible calls them Pharisees, Sadducees. My husband says that's why they were so sad, you see. Wisdom, right? Or wise guy. I think wise guy on that one. Okay, now listen, this is really good. So discernment is not me being judgmental. So don't get all pious and holy. I don't do that. That's not discernment. That's judgment. And it's not discrimination. I'm better than you. See, that's not discernment. Discernment is truth. So now I can see. All of a sudden you have this picture of something going, this isn't going nowhere good. You know when your mama would just know that? And she's going, this is going nowhere real fast. And she, you know, don't you go with that boy. I do think God gives mama supernatural insight to bad boys, right? It could just be spiritual, but I do believe mamas have that. God has that for you. He says, don't go there. So remember, I think that's really good. It's not discrimination, it's not judgment, it's discernment, it's truth. I love this verse in Proverbs 3:21. Listen, my child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them. Now listen, ladies, please listen. The word of God is active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God penetrates. That's why it's so important that you read the word of God. Do you know, listen, this is so good. God can't activate what's not there. God does not just download verses in your heart that you've never read. He activates what you've read. So you've got to read the word of God and meditate on the word of God. And then sometime when you're in some crisis moment, all of a sudden a verse comes to you and you say, where'd that come from? Because you've sown it, you can reap it. But you can't sow what you don't reap. Are you listening? So when I read this verse, Tammy, and what I like to do is I like to make this scripture relevant for me. So I'll say, Tammy, don't lose sight of common sense. I get in an angry moment, a tired moment, a jealous moment, an insecure moment. That's not common sense. Tammy, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them. Hang on to discernment, baby girl, because look, I got plans for you, and I don't want you messing up down a wrong road and me having to get you back over here on track. See, he talks that way to us through scripture. It's his word for his girls and his boys. It's his word for us. It's life. So when I give you a verse, take it home and meditate on it. Open your Bible up and look at it and let Holy Spirit speak to you. Number three, you must be willing to listen to his voice and follow through. What happens sometimes with discernment is you'll have a check in your spirit and then you'll talk yourself out of it. Do you ever do that where you'll just go, I don't know, I don't feel like I should do this. And then you start reasoning why you should, but I'm going to look foolish. Everybody's going to think I'm stupid. I'm the only one not going. It's not that big of a deal. Do you see where I'm going with this? Even though you know Holy Spirit has put the halt on it, right? You must be willing to listen to his voice and follow through. It's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to follow through. Amen. I mean, every one of us in this room can give a testimony of when we knew we weren't supposed to do something, date someone, go somewhere, kiss that one boy in our spirit. He was too cute not to. I'm on. You just know. But when Holy Spirit says don't, then don't. See, he says don't, and then we reason. All right? So you must be willing to listen. I love this verse. I want to read this one. It's in Proverbs 1:4. Listen. These proverbs will give insight to the simple. Holla, it's me. Insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. See, when I read them, it gives me an insight. I'm trying to think what that cartoon was. Everything, like they're looking at, and then everything just kind of illuminated. Everything just made sense. And you know when you walk with God, everything just starts, you see things. You're like, nope. And you're starting to feel this in your spirit. Next. This one's good. You must be able to read between the lines. Now that's a good one. Not what's being said, but what's not being said. This is good for telemarketers or all the telemarketers that come to you. Listen, discernment is me looking and going, wait, what's really being said here? Wait a minute. What's really being said? I know what you're offering me. I know what you're asking me, for what's really being said. See, something in my spirit and discernment says, ask more questions, get more details, or run. Right? Right? Discernment your spirit. I love this verse. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. Proverbs 8:12. And the last one, listen, this is so good. And yes, it means distinguishing between the good, the better, and the best. See, discernment says, you can have that, but Tammy, I have better for you. You can settle for that. And I'm going to tell you, I work with too many women. I know this to be true. Some of us went with good when we should have waited for best. Now you got your good, make him your best. Don't know who I'm speaking to. But in your daily affairs, not literal. All the people that are live streaming. In your daily actions and choices and decisions, right? Right? Wait for the best. I love Lisa Turnquist's book, The Best Yes. Your best yes. What's your best yes? Have you settled? Now, don't be angry where you have. Just get up and move on. Because we've all settled in some areas. But pick up. Because he's got a good yes for you. But you got to know in your spirit. And the only way to know it is to activate it. Does that make sense? It's there. I have learned to call out to these since I've started this study. I call out to wisdom. I call out to instruction. I'd say, and here's, listen, guys, I tell you this all the time. Say these things over you because you're self-fulfilling prophecies. So I'll say to myself all the time, who's smarter than me right now that I can put around me? Who's somebody that I can go for prayer? I'm hungry for more people who are bigger and better and know more and can teach me and guide me and believe in me and speak into me. I'm hungry for that. And I believe because I'm hungry for that, he's providing that for me. You will either have nothing or you will have everything. He's got an everything for you. I love this verse in Psalm 119, 125. Give discernment to me, your servant, then I will understand your laws. God, in a crazy way, gave us a story of a king that knew how to discern good from evil, right from wrong. And he's given you that same sword. Ladies, it's called the Word of God.